me to 2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I'm going to complete or try to complete. I'm about to the place of not saying that anymore. It seems like I can't complete nothing, but I'm going to make an attempt this morning on the subject of five characteristics of a good soldier. And you say, well, I'm not a soldier. I know we've been celebrating the 4th and Independence Day and all those soldiers that have fought and spilled their blood or shed their blood. But I'm not a combat soldier. But I signed up to be and was going to be, and they found a hole in my heart and wouldn't let me sign up. But I was looking forward to it, and it didn't work out that way, and God had other plans. But I thank God for all the soldiers that have fought for our freedom so we could sit here this morning in freedom. And I know the 4th has already passed, but that don't change the fact that we still, a week after the 4th, we should be just as grateful to these men and women who have given their lives and given their limbs that we could enjoy the freedom. And it's up to us. I'm talking about physically, not spiritually right now. I'm going to talk about spiritually. But everybody wake up and look up and listen up. Our country is in a mess. If you haven't noticed, we are in, absolutely dangerous, critical, unprecedented in the history of our nation. We've never, ever, ever faced what we're facing as a country. As we are in this sanctuary this morning, the world has seen our commander-in-chief. The world has seen our president. The world has seen the man who holds the nuclear football and has all less than 7 minutes to give commands and codes. And Vladimir Putin saw that. And Xi Jinping saw that. And the leader of North Korea saw that. And Iran saw that. And it's no accident that those countries have come together, signed treaties, and are meeting on a weekly and biweekly time frame. And they are coming together to come up with a plan. And at any moment, I mean, we have the absolute worst case scenario. We have a country that this president, who has literally, and I'm not being disrespectful, but he's so demented. He has no cognitive brain help. I mean, at best, he should be eating pudding, sitting somewhere in a room watching cartoons. And yet that's the man that we have at the highest, the most important, powerful man in the world. And if you don't think our enemies are paying attention and looking and laughing, America is being laughed at all over the world. And that hurts, and I hate that for America. But what I'm telling you, far more than being embarrassed, we should be shaken this morning in our boots, because our southern border is wide open, and the Chinese are sending people in by the thousands and tens of thousands, and no telling how many terrorists, no telling how many Russians, no telling how many Iranians, no telling how many. I'm saying to you, out of the probably 20 million people that's walked into our country, we have no one in charge. We have no one with the capability to make calls and do the job that he's been given. And you say, well, Preacher, my goodness, I mean, we saw that debate, and he's going to be out in 5 or 6 months. 5 or 6 months is plenty of time. 5 or 6 months with what we know now, what's been openly exposed to the world, is more than plenty of time. For those, and don't think for a minute, Russia, China, Iran, and all these other America-hating, Israel-hating countries of the world don't want to take us down. Because I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time Christians ought to be praying in America, it ought to be today. It's time for us to suit up, to mount up, to stand up, and I mean, call on God. Oh, God, you have shed your grace on us. God, you've protected us. But, Lord, help us. And I see the darkness of our country, and I see how defiled and even demonic our country has dove into the depths and the recesses of sin. And God would be so just if He allowed them to overtake us or destroy us. We'd deserve it. But I ask you to join with me and beg God one more time, Lord, would you please have mercy on us? One more time, Lord, your children are calling out. I think about when Abraham, well, listen, when he went in and he saw those and he said, Lord, if they'd be 50 and they'd be 40, if they'd be 30 righteous, and got down, if they'd be 10 righteous, and would you spare it? And I'm begging you, pray along those lines. Say, Lord, they still some of us. They still some of your children here. God, they still some of your children here. And Lord, we're calling. And you said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Our answer ain't in Washington. And this is a news report. Our answer ain't in Donald Trump. Our answer is in Jesus Christ the Lord. We better, hey, listen, it's serious business. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm trying to inform you. If you don't already know, the next 6 months may determine whether we exist as a nation or not. And it won't be according to man, but it'll be whether or not God allows it. Don't you believe in prayer? If you do, I would urge you to pray. Pray. God tells us pray for our leaders. And so this has all been brewing in my heart, and I done got spit on my glasses. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Did you catch that last tag? That have chosen him to be a soldier. Jesus chose you. You say, I come to Jesus. Not before Jesus come to you. You couldn't come to him. You had no desire to come to him. You were dead. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. Jesus came to where I was, and he breathed on me, and he convicted me. And I'm telling you, I bless his name. And when he done that, he was choosing me to be a soldier. Because if you're saved, if you don't leave with nothing else, leave with this statement, and I pray it imprints on your heart. If you are saved, you are a soldier. You enlisted in the war. There's many AWOL soldiers in the Christian army today. Many who have just run off and said, I'm not fighting in that war any longer. God help us not to go AWOL in this battle, in this war. Turn the page over to chapter 4. And go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Jesus is coming back. Amen. Thank God one of these days, one of these getting up mornings, I'm telling you, the trump's going to sound and the dead in Christ is going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to happen, and I think sooner than later. But until then, there's a war. There's a battle going on. There's a war that we in, and we signed up for it. When we said yes to Jesus, and yes, I'll do anything, and yes, you can have me. The Bible says, remember, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are debtors to him. Paul said, I'm a debtor to him. So it ain't a big deal if he asks us to do something. We all say, sir, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. I will fight. I will stand. I will speak. I will give a track out. I'll pray. I'll be faithful to the house of God. I'm preaching to the Sunday morning crowd. And I know we got a lot of people out and we got some visitors, but hey, the core of this church, listen up. They ain't one blessed thing different about Sunday night service as there is Sunday morning. They ain't nothing different on Wednesday night than Sunday morning. There have been a trend that started that used not to be the case, and I'm studying how it happened. And I believe I know what happened. But I'll tell you this. It used to be when the church doors were open, you couldn't find a seat in the old days. There'd be people sitting outside with fans fanning themselves and listening through the windows. We've got more empty pews in here this morning. God help us. I mean, we've got air-conditioned, padded pews, the best that money can buy. And listen, there's so many that they'll show up on a Sunday morning and they'll feel like they'll give themselves a hand. Oh, they wouldn't say this. God knows. God knows their heart. They ain't going to come out and say, oh, I would never do that. But the truth is there's a pattern. It ain't just every now and then. You are a Sunday morning glory. You one of them that just blooms in the morning about once a week. And you pat yourself on the back and think you did God a favor. Can I tell you, as much as I love you, you ain't done God no favors. God did you a favor, but you ain't done God a favor by coming to his house. Can I say this? Brother Ned, coming to his house faithfully, it's the highlight of my week. It's sustenance that I have to have, just like driving a car down the road. And when that gets low, I've got to pull in and put some petrol, or I'll be dead. I'll be on the side of the road, broke down and not moving. And I'm saying to you, you must come to the house of God and be replenished and get something from God and let God fill your tank. Over and over. And so listen, you and I, when we're in a war like we're in, you can't afford to miss. We need some faithful soldiers. Now, if we was in a physical war that happened in Pakalet, and it started and they invaded us and we were in Pakalet, and a physical war, we'd all get our guns and we would do the best we could. I would, to protect my family and those that I love and the things, this church, best I could. I'd call Brother Jeff. I'd call Brother David. I'd call Brother Jack. I'd call all you men. Say, hey, get your guns together. Let's shelter. Let's get our families together. Let's get to the house of God. Let's pray. But men, we got a job to do. We're going to protect our women and children. Amen. Wouldn't you? Now, what if that really happened? And about 3 weeks in, it's five or six men said, I just don't feel like going today. And these people are dying in the streets. I mean, people we know and love, they dying. They getting shot in the head. They getting ambushed. They having explosions that's blowing their people we love. Lost people. No. And you say, I just don't feel like it. I got other things to do today. So y'all men going out there and leave it on us, those of us who are going to be here. Don't you know we're more vulnerable without you? Don't you know that leaves a hole in the shield? Don't you know there's a gap? There's a gap in the hedge. There's a way for the devil to get in. I'm saying God needs every soldier. When I said visualize that physical war, impact it, and we had to take up arms. The reality is there is a war going on in Packlet, and people are dying. I went to get gas this morning, and a black man come up to me in tears, running down his face. He said, sir, you look like a Christian. You look like a preacher. And he said, sir, and the tears come down, dripping off his chin. He said, my daughter, last night, overdosed on fentanyl. Took a pill and began foaming at the mouth, and her eyes rolled back, and before they could get to her, she died and left this world. And I need $26. He said, I don't need the money. Just if you could get me gas, I got to go pick up my grandchildren that were hers. Their daddy's gone, and it's just them, 14, 10, and 8 years old. Mama dead. Nobody to take care of them. And that black man, listen, I'm saying we're in spiritual warfare and people are dying. And we need some soldiers, the people that say they're saved by the grace of God, men and women. I mean, we need somebody, all hands on deck. I mean, to every man and woman at their post saying, I'll be faithful to my job. I'll be faithful to my Lord. I'm coming. I'm praying. I'm giving. I'm fighting. I'm doing all that I can do. And by the grace of God, I'm standing. Because people are dying. And way more tragic than a fentanyl overdose and leaving them kids behind. The sad fact is that woman probably died and went to hell and is burning in a place called hell. She's in the circumference. She lived in the circumference of this church. She lived in the shadow of this steep. I'm saying we never reached her. We never attempted. We failed her and so many more that are going down that road. I'm saying, why are all we doing is coming in and like a sponge, say, give me, give me, give me. Preach to me. And I'm for preaching. And I know you need encouragement. But God bless you. There's got to be some that will go out and take the message. Go out and fight the battle. Go out and do what God has called us to do. And it can't be some. I mean, we need to unify. We need to strategize. We need to come up with plans. I mean, out of the box plans to say, by the grace of God, we're going to win this town. We ain't going to let the devil and nobody else overthrow Packlet. We're going to win this war in Packlet. That's the place God give us. God placed us in a place called Packlet, South Carolina. Last I heard, it was around 4,000 people. Have we even made a dent? You say, oh, don't go down that road. That's dangerous. War is dangerous. I ain't stopping at that house. He's a big dog. Listen, I understand people got phobias and this and that and the other, but we ain't even making the attempt. When's the last time? You listen? When's the last time you took a couple of hours and set it aside and said, I'm going to knock on some people's doors and tell them about Jesus and try to win them to the Lord? When's the last time? We don't think nothing about jumping in a bass boat and spending a day at the lake, going to the beach, going to the mountains, shooting fire. All that's fine in its place, but how can we find time for everything but the greatest commission God ever left us with? The last thing Jesus said, above everything else, make sure I died for you and I died for the world. You can miss and skip doing a lot of things, but this last thing I'm going to tell you is the most important. I'm commissioning you. I'm begging you. I'm giving you the charge. Go preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. Share the gospel, the good news. Get it to every man. Are you hearing me? We are in a battle against who? The devil and the flesh. The flesh is winning. Before we ever get out of our house, the flesh has done won. And we lost battle won because we're not willing just to deny ourselves and reckon ourselves to be dead and say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We got to overcome the flesh right out of the bed and say, no flesh, you're not winning today. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. You've won me most of my Christian life, but something's changing today. I realize I've been bought with the precious, high cost, the most expensive, priceless blood. He bought me. He forgave me. He saved me. He built me a mansion in heaven. He gave me eternal life. And all he asked was I go tell other people and share it so they too can have it. And so we got to fight our flesh first, and then we got to fight the devil and the world. And the world, I'm going to be honest with you, this battle ain't easy. This war in Packlet, because there's a church on every corner, and most of Packlet talks. Can I get an amen right there? I ought to hear an amen out of people who don't amen. Packlet is a big gossip box. I could whisper on that side of 150 at the four lane to somebody across the other side, and before I could get in my car and drive to Packlet Mills River to the bridge, there'd already be another story about what I whispered. You've heard it, a lie can get around the world quicker than the truth can get his pants on. That's right. I'm saying, listen, I understand the obstacles we're up against. I understand that there are people out there that are so doped up, they are so drunk, they're so blind by religion and what they think religion is. But I'm here to tell you, praise God. Miss Fern called me, yesterday or the day before? Yesterday, and her home nurse was there. She'd been witnessing to her, and she'd been talking to her and praying for her. And she called me and she said, "Preacher, my home nurse, she's acting like she wants to get saved. I really don't want it to be right. Would you talk to her?" And I got on the phone, and boy, that before I knew it, that woman was weeping and crying and saying, Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I'm willing to repent of my sin. Yes, yes. And I said, "I can't get saved for you. That's between you and God. I'll pray for you, but you got to pray for yourself." And she called on the name of the Lord and got saved by the grace of God. You know what that is? That's a warrior sitting back there on the back. How old are you? 75 years old. What's your excuse? What's our excuse? Why ain't these pews filled of people that we went out in the highways and hedges and compelled them? Jackson, come here. I ain't gonna hurt you. But the Bible means something. The word compel don't mean. It says go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come to the house of God. Do you know what compel, what we've took compel to mean? Hey, Mr. Jackson, we got church. We're from Morningstar Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you come to our church one day. Would you be okay with that? Would you take this track? Okay, no, maybe. Okay, thank you. You have a blessed day. That is not what compel means. Look it up. Compel is this. Grab them by the nape of the neck and compel them and pull them and do away with every excuse and get them all the way. Compel them by the nape of the neck until their hind end hits a pew and they can hear the gospel. Now I know, thank you, son. I know we ain't gonna go grab people by the nape of the neck, but that's the language that God used. In other words, do everything you can. If shooting fireworks, I know some people are against us spending the money to about do that. Do you know we got families in our church today who are members because of that event? Do you know that I have had contact after contact, call after call of people wanting to know what time our church starts because they lined up on the side of the road and watched and seen how we opened up to the community and seen. And these people gonna come. That's a small price to pay. Because this is one of the highlights of the year. All of our church have fun and fellowship. And so for those who are against it, go fuss at the wall and find something else. Because I ain't gonna hear it. The more you fuss about it and I hear about it, the bigger we're going. That's how I look at it. I'll double it next year. I'm saying we're in war. People are dying. People we love are dying. There's another woman, member of our church. They found her last night. I got a call or a text about 12:30, overdose on fentanyl. See, I started out by talking about how our president is incompetent. He can't. He's not there to do the job. When you announce to the world, and he did, that he operates between 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and he's got to have a nap in between 10 and 4, do you know the enemy seizes on that? They say, oh my. Listen. I started out by talking about that and the big part of our country to bring it down to where we are. People are dying. And it's up to you and me because people you know. Right now, I want you to take them all. I'm done. Right now, in your mind, everybody close your eyes, bow your heads. I want you to let the Lord put people in your mind. Let their picture, let their face come to your mind. People you know that's lost. People you know that is under the devil's thumb. people that you know and love, if God don't intervene and save them, they're going to die and go to hell, and we're going to lose another and another. Some of you's got family. They're rolling through your mind right now. Some of you's got brothers and sisters, and they're lost and on their way to hell. Some of you's got mamas and daddies. They're lost and on their way to hell. Some of you's got aunts and uncles, and they're lost on their way to hell. And so you got neighbors and friends, people you went to school with. I'm telling you, it's high time we be good soldiers. And I mean, like the Word of God said, I mean, we need to stand. Having done all, we need to stand. Those pictures, those people's faces are in your mind and in your memory bank, and God's showing them to you. And this is the invitation. Have you done all you could do? Because Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord. Listen, have you done all you can do? When's the last time you called them? When's the last time you were burdened over them enough? Before you get the call, they OD'd on something that killed them. Or they had a car wreck that killed them. When's the last? I can't tell you how many people have come to me crying and weeping, saying, I wanted to go see them. I was about to go talk to them, and this happened. Now they're gone. Don't let that happen to you. If those people are on your mind, the invitation is this. When's the last time you got up out of your seat and was willing to come pray for that those individuals? Let's stand to our feet. These altars are open. Start by being on your knees, asking help from God to be the soldier you and your family should be, that our church should be, for all these that are lost and dying so senselessly around us. And God put this church here as a military station to battle. Men, man up. Women, pray up. God, help us to win every last one of them. By the grace of God, let's not lose Packlet on our watch. There's still time. If we start today, we can win. We can win. We shall win. We must win. I don't want my children growing up in a world like this. I don't want our grandchildren growing up in a world like this. We must win. What are you doing? What are you doing in the battle? Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? If not, today's the day. I've given you everything God's given me this morning. Not a bit of it that I planned. I just diverted from that. But this is from the Lord this morning. And I hope and pray we'll do business with God. As these are praying, I'm praying. And so these altars are open. You come while I go pray. If you need me, come get me.